Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the voice of Merger Market, the world's premier publication about mergers and acquisitions. I'm Juliana Needham. In this episode, we're welcoming Merger Market's new Brussels Bureau Chief, Natalie McMellis, to give us a flavour of the regulatory climate in the EU at the moment. It's been a bit of a quiet start to the year, but could things be about to pick up? Hi, Natalie. Welcome. Good to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So we're recording this on Tuesday, the 1st of April, and you're currently in Washington, D.C. to cover the American Bar Association spring meeting. Can you explain why you're there and a bit more about the meeting, please?
Yes, it's a really interesting time to be here for the ABA spring meeting. The ABA spring meeting for the antitrust section is really a sort of a traditional a gala event with thousands of lawyers descending on DC from all over the world. And, you know, it's usually a very, you know, a normal kind of conference with panels and all of the regulators speaking and debates about regulatory policy and their priorities and what's expected for the coming year. This year is really very different.
Okay, so why is that?
It's different this year because of the new administration, the Trump administration. There's been a lot of backlash against the lawyers and the law firms, especially the law firms in Brussels, by the Trump administration because of the advocacy that they have, you know, carried out against his administration, against his policies. And so you've seen a number of law firms being pursued by the administration. And we've seen some reactions from law firms like WilmerHale, Paul Weiss. And it's an interesting time because usually, like I said, at this ABA spring meeting, it was a place where regulators all came together to present and to discuss and sometimes to make news. You know, for us journalists, this was great things, great stuff. This year, the FTC chairman, Andrew Ferguson, and also the DOJ has also said that their top brass are not allowed to participate in the ABA. So this is a really strange experience. We're going to be there, and there will be speakers from different, you know, countries around the world. The Europeans are here, and South Americans, you know, the Asians, and the Americans will, you know, in Washington D.C. won't be on the stage. So it's a really strange and we're all waiting to just see how is this all going to play out.
Great. Well, we'll be looking forward to hearing more about how it goes. Can you in the meantime, or can we in the meantime, look at Europe? You are the new Brussels Bureau Chief for Merger Market, and that's where you're normally based in Brussels. You've written a couple of columns in the past weeks about the lay of the land in Europe. So we wanted to find out more about that. Firstly, can you kind of start with how the EU's regulatory agenda is picking up in 2025?
Yes, certainly. I just started as the Brussels Bureau Chief, and I think that I have never seen the EU regulatory calendar as empty as it has been at the start of this year. You know, January, generally, what we see in Europe is a pickup of things that were sort of held over from the year before, deals that companies had wanted to notify, but it was too close to the holiday break. And it's considered, you know, not a very friendly act to start off with the regulator by presenting them with a huge file on December 15th. And so there's usually a lot of pent up demand, and you see a lot of things coming in January and February. This year, not so much. I've never seen it so bare, the cupboard so bare.
And why is that?
I think, you know, it's like I said, here we are at the ABA, and there's a lot of uncertainty about the new administration here. In Europe, there's also some anxiety, some uncertainty about what we have a new commissioner, Teresa Ribera. And after 10 years of Margrethe Vestager, many people don't really know where Ribera stands and what is going to be her stance. They don't want to be the first deal out of the block. So that's what we've been hearing from lawyers in Brussels, is they say, you know, not only is deal-making sort of chilled a bit, but also even notifying deals, people are a little bit skittish. But what I wrote about in the last couple of weeks is that things are gradually picking up, finally, in Europe.
And can you elaborate a bit more on that? Are there any particular sectors or any significant deals that have been notified?
Yes, one that I saw notified and I thought, okay, now we're getting into some, you know, controversial territory, was that Safran, the French aerospace manufacturer, notified its takeover of Collins Aerospace's Microtechnica. And the reason that this one caught my eye was that Microtechnica is an Italian company, and the takeover sparked a golden power resistance from the Italian government. They said they have the right to intervene in deals when they feel that it could have an effect on national security. But usually when you talk about Italy using its golden powers, it's not using it against another EU member state. But this time they still felt that there was enough threat for France taking over Microtechnica that it would have an impact on their competing jet fighter plans. This is a Eurofighter and Tornado. And so, you know, that is a controversial deal. They have worked out their issues in Italy, that finally they've made promises about security of supply, on maintaining jobs. But that was already worked out in June 2024. Still, we didn't have a notification to the EC. But here we go. Finally, in February, Safran, pulled the trigger. And it looks as if that deal is going through well. They will probably make similar remedies as to the ones that they made to Italy, and it looks as if that deal's on track to clear in early April. Another big one that got notified was the Danish freight forwarder, DSV. They have a euro 14 billion takeover of Deutsche Bahn's logistics business. It's called Schenker. And so they had spent a really long time in pre-notification too. Like, that deal was signed in September 2024. Finally, we see a notification this spring. And so I think that that deal is also going to be fine. The preparation, you know, all that pre-notification preparation looks like it's going to pay off. We don't expect them to make a remedy offer. And I think that they're going to get clearance in April 8th. So we haven't seen many controversial deals come up yet, but we do see the gears sort of getting back into motion. So I think that that's, you know, it bodes well for the upcoming term. I think that one really big deal that we're looking forward to is the U.S. candy company Mars. They have bought Kellogg's Kellanova for $35.9 billion. And so that one is going to be a really big review. It's bound to involve a lot of controversy because it's a really consumer-facing industry. And there's an issue about whether they're creating a sort of a snack, behemoth. And will that be a problem for the European Commission? The European Commission has been known to worry about ecosystems, you know, that when you become too powerful of an ecosystem, that you shouldn't be allowed to grow. So I think that one could be have some interesting details, in the same way as we saw last year Booking e-Travelly within the travel sector have that ecosystem, you know, theory of harm coming to the forefront.
And so are there any other interesting deals on the horizon?
In the near term, one that we're really looking forward to, and it might even come in before the summer, is Process's $4 billion takeover of Just Eat Takeaway. And the reason that that one is interesting is because it's in the food delivery sector. So again, it's a sector that's really important to consumers. And we have a Process with a minority shareholding in Delivery Hero. So that overlap between Just Eat Takeaway and this minority shareholding in Delivery Hero could bring up some interesting issues. Looking a little bit further in the future, there's a new deal on the horizon that's really got us excited, and that is Google's announcement of its $32 billion acquisition of the Israeli startup Wiz, which is a cloud cybersecurity company. This one is interesting, especially for the Europeans, because they have really, you know, put up a big fight against killer acquisitions. And so when you see a big company like Google going after a small startup, it rings all those bells about killer acquisitions. And you wonder whether the EC is going to have to pull it in through a call in because it may not have jurisdiction if WIS doesn't have enough turnover. So it could be a new kind of Illumina grail. And we did see in that deal, we have a 10% breakup fee, you know? So that's a huge breakup fee. That means that they are concerned that there may be regulatory resistance.
And your column on Monday was about another facet of EU regulatory risk, the foreign subsidies regulation. Could you firstly explain in really simple terms, what is the foreign subsidies regulation?
Of course. You know, when I talk about merger control, I think everybody's on very solid ground and they know what we're talking about. The foreign subsidies regulation is new territory, and it is a law that came in force in 2023. And it allows the European Commission to go after companies that are installed in the EU and that are subsidized by foreign governments. And it particularly focuses on when companies are using, you know, foreign subsidies to buy another company. So it kind of gives them an advantage in the bidding for an acquisition that they have been subsidized, for example, by the Chinese state. Can also be used when they bid for a public procurement contract. You know, they make a bid, they can offer a really great price because they've been subsidized by the Chinese or the Arab or anyone. It can even be the United States. And so this new piece of legislation has really been super active lately. And that's what I was highlighting on Monday was, if we see some reticence on the part of the merger control folks, we don't see that same reserve when it comes to the foreign subsidies people. They're really going after it with a lot of vigor. And for deal makers, I think, yeah, on the one hand, you have the aspect of, you know, if you're subsidized in the acquisition of a company, you could have a problem. But they can also use this foreign subsidies regulation, as we call it, ex officio, meaning on their own initiative. And that's what we are focusing on lately. We're seeing the EC start to tentatively open these ex officio cases. And for deal makers, I think this could be relevant. One deal that we saw where we found this, you know, very interesting was we had the Chinese company Midea buying Arbonia. And that was a deal that didn't meet any of the foreign subsidies regulation threshold. So normally the company would say no need to notify under the FSR. They made their merger notification. They thought everything was just fine. And then, knock, 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 they heard from the FSR folks. And this was a real, you know, there wasn't a problem. Everything was okay. But the chances that they would call in the deal, you know, it was something that was unexpected and it could really throw off the timetable. So that was one, you know, happening that we wanted to highlight for deal makers, this risk that a deal that was below threshold, so you don't think there's any need to notify, would actually be called in by the European Commission.
So what do deal makers need to be mindful of with the ex officio cases?
Yeah, I think what we saw and what we found surprising was China's Midea's takeover of Arbonia's climate division didn't meet any thresholds, was a potential call-in by the European Commission. And what I mean when I say a call-in is when the European Commission uses its discretion to ask for a deal to be notified that doesn't, technically speaking, have to be notified under the rules. This is the use of its ex officio power. And we didn't see yet the commission exercise that power. And what we learned was that they contacted Midea's lawyers and discussed with them the possibility that they would ask them to nonetheless notify that deal. This was quite surprising because they had their, you know, their regulatory timetable in hand. They had made their merger notification and they were looking forward to clearance under the merger rules, when all of a sudden it came to pass that they might have to, at the last minute, make an FSR notification. And that could have really thrown off their timetable. Luckily, in the end, the commission was satisfied with their explanations and said, okay, we don't need to see this deal, it's okay. But it does show you that this use of the FSR ex officio is not just a paper tiger. It actually could bite. And I think it's something that might lead dealmakers to think, maybe we ought to go and talk to the commission officials in advance, in any event, just to be sure that there's not going to be any surprises at the last minute.
Great. Really interesting stuff, Natalie. Good to talk to you, and I'll look forward to speaking again soon. That was Natalie McMellis, who is Merger Markets Brussels Bureau Chief. Thanks for listening to Dealcast. I'm Juliana Needham. If you'd like to find out more about what we've been talking about in this episode, please have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.